As a food delivery driver, I've encountered all sorts of strange situations. But that particular night, I received a request that took a dark and unexpected turn, leaving me with a chilling story I'll never forget. It was a Saturday night, and the city was bustling with activity. I had been driving around delivering food for hours, and I was looking forward to finishing my shift. Just as I was about to log off, I received an order from a new customer. The request was peculiar. The customer wanted their food delivered to a park instead of a residential address. Curiosity got the better of me, and I accepted the order. The park was a few miles away, located in a quiet suburban neighborhood. It was a large, sprawling park with dense trees and winding paths. I had been there during the day, but never at night. As I drove to the park, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The request was unusual, and the thought of meeting a stranger in a dark park made me uneasy. But I brushed off my concerns, convincing myself it was just another quirky customer. When I arrived, the park was shrouded in darkness, the only light coming from a few dim street lamps. The eerie silence was broken only by the distant sound of traffic and the rustling of leaves in the breeze. I parked my car and got out. The instructions said to meet at a bench near the playground. I walked down the path, my footsteps echoing in the quiet night. The playground came into view, its swing swaying gently in the breeze. I spotted the bench and saw a figure sitting there, his face obscured. "Hi, I have your food," I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. The figure stood up and walked towards me. As he stepped into the light, I saw that it was a man in his late 20s, with a scruffy beard and dark eyes that seemed to pierce through the darkness. He wore a black hoodie and jeans, his hands shoved into his pockets. "Thanks," he said, his voice low and gravelly. He took the bag of food from me and handed me cash. As I counted the money, I realized he had given me way more than the cost of the order. "Hey, this is too much," I said, holding out the extra cash. "Keep it," he replied, his eyes never leaving mine. "I might need your help with something else." A chill ran down my spine. "What do you mean?" He glanced around, as if checking to make sure we were alone. "I need you to deliver a package for me," he said, pulling a small, wrapped box from his pocket. "It's important." I felt a surge of fear and confusion. "I'm just a food delivery driver," I said, taking a step back. "I can't deliver packages." "Please," he said, his voice urgent. "It's a matter of life and death." My instinct screamed at me to leave, but the desperation in his voice made me hesitate. I took the box, my hand shaking. "Where do you want me to deliver it?" He handed me a piece of paper with an address scribbled on it. "Take it there, and don't open it," he said. "Please, just do this for me." Before I could respond, he turned and walked away, disappearing into the darkness. I stood there, holding the box, my mind racing with questions and fear. What was in the box? Why was it so important? And who was this man? I looked at the address on the paper. It was in a part of town I wasn't familiar with, a place known for its high crime rate. My fear grew, but so did my curiosity. Against my better judgment, I decided to deliver the package. I got back into my car and drove to the address, my heart pounding in my chest. The streets were deserted, and the buildings looked run down and abandoned. I parked outside a dilapidated house, the windows boarded up and the yard overgrown with weeds. As I approached the house, I felt a growing sense of dread. I knocked on the door, and after a few moments, it creaked open. A woman stood there, her eyes wide with fear and desperation. "Are you here to help?" she asked, her voice trembling. I have a package for you," I said, holding out the box. She took the box, her hands shaking. Thank you, she whispered. You have no idea how much this means to me. Before I could ask any questions, she closed the door, leaving me standing on the porch, confused and terrified. I quickly got back into my car and drove away, my mind racing with the events of the night. I never saw the man or the woman again, and I never found out what was in the box. The experience left me shaken and wary, and I began to question my decision to take late-night deliveries. The fear of the unknown lingered, a constant reminder of that eerie night. Over time, I learned to be more cautious and trust my instincts. The memory of that strange request and the desperation in the man's eyes still haunts me. I've come to realize that sometimes, the most ordinary situations can take a dark and unexpected turn. I've worked as a food delivery driver in Wilmington, North Carolina, for a few years now. The job is usually straightforward: pick up the order, deliver it to the customer, and move on to the next. But that night, my routine delivery turned into a nightmare that still haunts my nights. It was a typical busy evening. I was driving around the city, making deliveries and trying to keep up with the rush. Around 8 p.m., I got an order for a small pizza place downtown. The delivery was to an apartment complex on the other side of town. It seemed like just another routine run, but I couldn't have been more wrong. As I left the pizza place, I noticed a black sedan parked across the street. I didn't think much of it at the time, just another car in the city. I drove off, making my way through the familiar street.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Streets of Wilmington. The city was bustling with activity, people enjoying the nightlife and the warm summer evening. I arrived at the apartment complex, delivered the pizza, and headed back to my car. That's when I noticed the black sedan again, parked a few spaces away from my car. It struck me as odd, but I brushed it off as a coincidence. Maybe it was just someone who lived in the complex. I got into my car and started driving to my next delivery. As I drove, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being followed. I glanced in the rearview mirror and saw the black sedan behind me. My heart skipped a beat. Maybe it was just a coincidence, I told myself. But the feeling of unease was growing stronger. For the next few deliveries, the black sedan was always there, trailing me at a distance. It followed me through the winding streets, always staying just far enough behind to avoid suspicion, but close enough to be unsettling. My mind raced with thoughts of who could be in the car and why they were following me. I tried to focus on my deliveries, hoping the car would eventually disappear. But it didn't. With each stop, the black sedan was there, a constant presence that I couldn't ignore. My anxiety grew with every passing minute. I considered calling the police, but what would I say? That a car was following me? It seemed so trivial, but the fear was real. It was getting late, and I had one last delivery to make. The address was a small house on a quiet street in a residential neighborhood. As I pulled up to the house, I saw the black sedan park a few houses down. My heart pounded in my chest as I got out of the car, the feeling of being watched more intense than ever. I walked up to the front door and knocked. The customer, an elderly woman, answered and took the food with a kind smile. I tried to hide my fear, but it must have shown on my face. Are you okay, dear? She asked, her eyes filled with concern. Yeah, I'm fine, I lied. Just a long night. She thanked me and closed the door. I hurried back to my car, glancing at the black sedan. The car door was open, and a man was getting out. He was tall and wore a dark hoodie, his face obscured by the shadows. My fear turned to panic as he started walking towards me. I jumped into my car and locked the doors, my hands shaking as I fumbled with the keys. The man was getting closer, his footsteps echoing in the quiet street. I finally got the car started and floored the gas pedal, speeding away from the man. I drove aimlessly through the streets, my heart racing and my mind in a frenzy. The black sedan was right behind me, its headlights glaring in my rearview mirror. I needed to lose him, but the narrow streets and traffic made it difficult. I made sharp turns and took random routes, hoping to shake him off. After what felt like an eternity, I finally saw an opportunity. I turned down a narrow alley and quickly shut off my lights, hoping the darkness would hide me. I held my breath as the black sedan sped past the alley, its headlights illuminating the street ahead. I waited a few more minutes, making sure he was gone, before I cautiously pulled out and headed back to the main road. I decided to head to the police station. My fear had turned into determination. I wasn't going to let this stalker get away. I drove straight to the station, my eyes constantly checking the mirrors for any sign of the black sedan. When I arrived, I parked and rushed inside, my heart still pounding. The officer on duty listened to my story, his expression growing more serious with each detail. He took my information and promised to have patrols in the area. I felt a sense of relief, but the fear still lingered. For the next few days, I was on edge. Every time I saw a black car, my heart would race, and I'd feel a surge of panic. I changed my routes and varied my schedule, trying to avoid any patterns. I also started carrying pepper spray, just in case. One evening, about a week after the incident, I received another late-night delivery. As I approached the address, my stomach dropped. There, parked a few houses down, was the black sedan. My hands started shaking, and my breath quickened. I decided to call the police from my car. As I dialed, the man in the hoodie stepped out of the sedan and started walking towards me. My fear turned into sheer terror. I quickly explained the situation to the dispatcher, and she assured me that officers were on their way. The man was getting closer, his pace quickening. I locked my car doors and kept the engine running, ready to speed off if necessary. He reached my car and started banging on the window, shouting something I couldn't make out. I felt trapped, my heart racing as I waited for the police. Finally, I saw the flashing lights of a patrol car. The man turned and ran back to his sedan, speeding away just as the officers arrived. They took my statement and searched the area, but they couldn't find him. The encounter left me shaken, but I was grateful for the quick response. The police advised me to take extra precautions and to call them immediately if I saw the black sedan again. They also promised to keep an eye out for the car during their patrols. I followed their advice, but the fear still lingered. Weeks passed, and I didn't see the black sedan again. The memory of that night haunted me, but I slowly regained my sense of security. I continued working as a delivery driver, but I was always on high alert, constantly scanning my surroundings for any sign of danger. The experience taught me to trust my instincts and to take any threat seriously. It was a stark reminder that even a routine job can turn dangerous in an instant. I still enjoy driving around Wilmington, but I'll never forget the fear I felt that night and the lessons I learned. I've been a food delivery driver for a couple of years now, and I've seen my fair share of strange encounters. But nothing compares to the night I delivered to a house on the outskirts of a rural town. It's a night that still gives me chills whenever I think about it. It was late on a Friday night, and I was finishing up my shift when I received an order for a delivery to a remote farmhouse. The address was way out of town, surrounded by dense woods and farmland. I hesitated, considering calling it a night, but I decided to take it. After all, it was a good tip, and I could use the extra cash. The drive took me through winding, unlit roads. The only light came from my car's headlights, casting eerie shadows on the trees. I could barely see beyond the beams, and the dense woods seemed to close in around me. The isolation was unnerving, but I tried to focus on the road and the promise of a generous tip. After about 20 minutes, I finally saw the house. It was old and dilapidated, with peeling paint and broken windows. There were no lights on, and it looked as if no one had lived there for years. I double-checked the address, sure that I must have made a mistake, but everything matched. I parked my car and got out, the cool night air sending a shiver down my spine. As I walked towards the house, the gravel crunching under my feet, I felt a growing sense of unease. I knocked on the door, but there was no answer. I waited a moment, then knocked again, louder this time. Still nothing. Just as I was about to leave, the door creaked open slightly. I could see a faint light inside, flickering like a candle. My heart pounded in my chest. I called out, "Hello? Your food is here." There was no response, just the sound of the door slowly creaking open further. I took a hesitant step forward, peering inside. The interior was dark, lit only by the flickering candlelight. The air was thick with the smell of damp wood and decay. "Hello?" I called out again, my voice trembling. "Is anyone there?" Suddenly, I heard a soft whisper. It was faint, almost imperceptible, but it sounded like someone calling my name. I froze, my mind racing. How could they know my name? I hadn't introduced myself. My instinct screamed at me to leave, but curiosity got the better of me. I took another step inside, my eyes scanning the dark room. The furniture was covered in dust, and cobwebs hung from the ceiling. It looked like no one had lived there for decades. I saw a shadow move in the corner of my eye. My heart skipped a beat. I turned the flashlight app on my phone and shone it towards the corner. The beam revealed an old rocking chair, slowly rocking back and forth. I could feel my pulse in my throat, and my hands began to shake. "Hello?" I whispered, my voice barely audible. The whispering grew louder, more insistent. It was definitely saying my name, over and over again. Panic set in. I turned to leave, but the door had closed behind me. I fumbled with the handle, my hands slick with sweat. As I struggled with the door, I heard footsteps behind me. Slow, deliberate steps, getting closer and closer. I finally wrenched the door open and stumbled outside, gasping for breath. I didn't look back as I ran to my car, the footsteps echoing in my ears. I jumped into the driver's seat, slammed the door shut, and locked it. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely get the keys into the ignition. I glanced back at the house and saw a figure standing in the doorway. It was tall and shadowy, with glowing eyes that seemed to pierce through the darkness. I floored the gas pedal, speeding away from the house. My heart was racing, and I could hardly breathe. I didn't stop until I was back in town, the lights of civilization a welcome sight. When I finally got back to the restaurant, my boss asked me what had happened. I was pale and trembling, and he could see I was shaken. I told him everything, expecting him to laugh it off or think I was crazy. But instead, his expression grew serious. That house has been abandoned for years, he said. No one lives there. You must have gone to the wrong address. I showed him the order details, and everything was correct. The address, the name, even the phone number. It didn't make sense. My boss looked at me with a mixture of concern and disbelief. I'm telling you, that place is haunted, I said, my voice shaking. There was something in there, calling my name. He didn't have an explanation, and neither did I. I left work that night with a feeling of unease that I couldn't shake. I kept replaying the events in my mind, trying to make sense of what had happened. Over the next few days, I tried to forget about the incident, but the memory haunted me. I had trouble sleeping, and every time I closed my eyes, I saw that shadowy figure standing in the doorway. I couldn't escape the feeling that I had encountered something otherworldly. I did some research on the house, hoping to find some explanation. What I found only deepened the mystery. The house had a dark history. Years ago, it had belonged to a family who had mysteriously disappeared. No one knew what had happened to them, and the house had been abandoned ever since. There were rumors of strange occurrences, ghostly sightings, and unexplained noises. I never took another delivery to that part of town again. The experience left me shaken and weary. I became more cautious, always double-checking addresses and avoiding remote areas. The memory of that night still lingers, a chilling reminder of the unknown. It was a typical Friday night in Newark, Delaware, near the University of Delaware. The streets were alive with students celebrating the start of the weekend. I had just picked up an order from a popular burger joint and was on my way to deliver it to an off-campus house. The energy of the city usually made me feel safe, but this night was different. The address was on a dimly lit street with only a few houses. As I pulled up, I noticed the street was unusually quiet. Most of the houses were dark, and there were no signs of the typical student activity. I parked my car and grabbed the bag of food, heading towards the house. As I walked up the steps, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The neighborhood, usually bustling with activity, felt eerily still. I knocked on the door, but there was no immediate answer. I waited, my unease growing with each passing second. Finally, the door creaked open slightly, and a young guy with a hoodie pulled over his head peeked out. He looked nervous, his eyes darting around. "Hey, I've got your food," I said, trying to sound friendly. "Yeah, thanks," he replied, reaching into his pocket. As he handed me the cash, I noticed two figures emerging from the shadows behind me. My heart started to race, but I tried to stay calm, thinking maybe they were just his friends. Before I could react, I felt a hand clamp down on my shoulder, and I was spun around to face two masked individuals. The sight of their faces hidden behind masks sent a jolt of fear through me. "Give us the money and the food," one of them demanded, their voice low and menacing. My heart pounded in my chest as I tried to process what was happening. "Okay, okay," I said, trying to stay calm. I handed over the bag of food and reached for my wallet. "Move faster," the other one said, pulling out a knife. The blade glinted in the dim light, sending a chill down my spine. I quickly handed over my wallet, my hands shaking. "Here, take it," I said, my voice trembling. They grabbed the wallet and the food, then shoved me hard, causing me to stumble and nearly fall. I watched as they ran off into the darkness, disappearing between the houses. My heart was racing, and I felt a mixture of fear and anger. I hurried back to my car, my mind racing with what to do next. I fumbled with my phone and dialed 911, my hands still shaking. The dispatcher took my information and assured me that officers were on their way. I sat in my car, trying to catch my breath and make sense of what had just happened. Within minutes, a police car arrived. The officers took my statement and searched the area, but there was no sign of the robbers. They found my wallet discarded in an alley a few blocks away, but the cash was gone. The experience left me shaken, but I was grateful to be unharmed. The police advised me to be cautious and avoid late-night deliveries in isolated areas. They assured me they would increase patrols in the neighborhood, but the incident left a lasting impact. I couldn't shake the feeling of vulnerability, knowing how easily things could have gone differently. A few days later, I was back on my delivery route, still shaken but trying to move on. It was another late-night shift, and I received an order for a delivery to a different part of town. The address seemed normal enough, and I decided to take it, hoping for an uneventful night. As I drove to the address, my nerves were on edge. The memory of the previous robbery was fresh in my mind, and I couldn't help but feel a sense of dread. The street was quiet, and the house looked typical, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. I parked my car and grabbed the bag of food, glancing around nervously. I walked up to the house and knocked on the door, my heart pounding in my chest. A young woman answered, her expression friendly and welcoming. I handed her the food, and she paid with a generous tip. Just as I was about to turn and leave, I heard footsteps behind me. My heart skipped a beat as I turned to see two masked figures approaching. The familiar sense of fear washed over me, but this time, I was prepared. Not again, I thought, trying to keep my composure. "Give us everything you have," one of them demanded, brandishing a knife. I handed over the cash I had just received, my hands trembling. "Take it," I said, hoping they would leave me alone. But they weren't satisfied. "Empty your pockets," the other one said, his voice cold and threatening. I did as they asked, handing over my phone and keys. They took everything and shoved me to the ground. As I lay there, fear and anger surged through me. I watched as they ran off, disappearing into the night. I struggled to my feet, my body shaking with adrenaline. I made my way to the nearest house and knocked on the door, hoping someone would help. An elderly couple answered, their faces filled with concern as I explained what had happened. They let me use their phone to call the police, and within minutes, officers arrived. They took my statement and assured me they would search the area, but I couldn't help feeling a sense of hopelessness. I had been robbed twice in just a few days, and the fear was overwhelming. The police advised me to take a break from work and to consider other safety measures. I took their advice and decided to take some time off to recover. The experience had left me traumatized, and I knew I needed to focus on my mental and emotional well-being. During my time off, I attended therapy and took self-defense classes. The sessions helped me process my fear and regain my confidence. I learned techniques to protect myself and felt a sense of empowerment knowing I could defend myself if necessary. Months passed, and I eventually returned to work. I was more cautious and vigilant, always scanning my surroundings and trusting my instincts.